This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
13 here in just a minute. But the thing about it is, this, I'm going to give you a picture of what grace is so you can understand how to walk in divine health. Now, this is what you have to do. You have to walk in what the Word says to be able to get healed, because the Lord didn't say He sent Thurman Scrivener to heal you. He said He sent His Word to heal you. And His Word's what's going to set you free. Not me. I'm just going to be the instrument that He's bringing, that He's given me the revelation to share with you how to make this work. I don't have any idea why God called an old Baptist deacon and an engineer out of the workforce and gave him all this revelation. But I'm certainly glad He did, because it has made my life absolutely the most awesome thing. To see God do all these wonderful things for people, to see people healed and see them get set free, is just the most rewarding thing I've ever done. You know, all them buildings I used to build and trucks I used to design and equipment I designed, all that stuff. Now I understand what Paul says when I consider that stuff nothing but refuge. I don't even want to bore you. I'm not even concerned about that junk. That used to be the thing that was on my mind, you know. Master one more airplane, you know, learn another airplane, how to fly it, how to do all the things, how to build and design stuff. Phooey. That stuff's nothing. All I do want to know is Jesus and Him crucified and His resurrection. When you do that, then you get to walk in divine health. And then you get to see your prayers answered when you pray. And man, that's awesome. That is something. So when you learn that there is, in the physical world, there is an executive department. We call them the police department. The police department is out there to control you only when you transgress the law. When you walk within grace in the state of Texas or wherever else you go, under grace, they say if you have a car and you have it registered and it's current and you got a current driver's license and you got insurance and you got an inspection sticker and all that stuff's current, you're under grace. Then when you get out on the highway and drive, as long as you drive under the speed limit or not over it, you're still under grace. So just like the other day, I was coming down 635 coming to church. And the other day, and everybody's just zipping around me, wham, 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 wham. But I'm driving 60, and the speed limit's 60. So we get up to a place up there, and all of a sudden, on an on-ramp, comes a police officer. Well, he comes right up beside me and pulls right in. I'm in the next to the left lane. He pulls in the right. I mean, I'm in the middle lane. He pulls in the right lane, right beside me, shoulder to shoulder. We're driving over 60 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I look back, and the people's in front of me are getting further and further away from me, and there's a huge gap, but there ain't nobody passing me. I mean, it's amazing the difference when they know the executive department is right there. And so nobody passed me. We went up there about three exits, and it's just, I'm the only guy on the road, you know, me and him. But there's a wall of them behind us. But as soon as he pulled off of an exit ramp, you know, and I thought, you know, Lord, you know, the executive department, even here, when we see them, we're afraid of them. But the thing about it is, in the spirit world, they're there. And you're always in their view. They're never, well, so when you go out and lie, steal, cheat, commit adultery, or whatever you do that breaks the rules of God, He told you not to do, God's with you, He's watching you. Can you imagine sometime you're fixing to steal $500 from somebody and you look around and there ain't nobody nowhere. And you reach in to steal that and Jesus is standing right there and the devil's demons are standing right there. They're all watching you. But they're invisible. You can't see them. And so you steal that and put it in your pocket and you said, nobody knows. And you walk out that door and Jesus said, I told him, thou shalt not steal. The devil said, so that means I got a legal right to him. And this scripture in here says, in Matthew, says whenever he's taking you to jail, you know, confess your sin right quick, or your adversary. Some of you may have heard that. I've got a tape on that, the adversary. I taught that here a while back in detail. The adversary said, "Look at Thurman, he just stole that $500. The Lord said, "Well, I'm going to give him a few minutes to repent. He's not outside the door yet, so maybe he'll give it back." And so I walk out that door and say, "Wow, I made $500 today. Nobody will ever know that. You know, I put that in my pocket." And when I walk out there and get in my car and start to drive off, the Lord says, "He's yours, devil. He's yours." And so I'm driving down the road. I either have a car wreck or my transmission. My car is only 2,000 miles out of warranty. And a new transmission only costs $2,000. Or a new engine only costs $4,000. And for some strange reason, something broke in my engine. It cost me $4,000 to fix it. And the crazy car is only 2,000 miles out of warranty. And I say, "Why me?" Y'all understand where I'm coming from? No curse comes upon you undeserved. Now, that was the most expensive $500 theft you ever made. That $500 didn't pay nothing compared to what, you know. So these things, I'm completely convinced now that there's nothing just accidentally happens to us. I mean, I can look back at my own days. I can look at days when I sin or when I do something wrong. If I don't repent right then, I can think of the things that go wrong in the course of my day. I used to just think that's just a way of life, but now I know that's not true. That's just like this woman. I got to tell you this story because it's one of the best stories about unforgiveness. Now, if a Christian in the church holds unforgiveness in your heart, I mean, you have no idea what you're doing. I mean, if there's anything, anybody, anywhere you got a grudge against, when I get through this story, it's going to be one of the best teaching tools. If you have an unforgiveness, I'm going to tell you, first of all, you're going to be sick. Your spouse is going to be sick. Your children are going to be sick. And everything you own is going to be legal right of the devil. How would you like to turn over everything in your household to the devil? No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm going to tell you a story about a woman that came to this church a couple of years ago. She's a member of a big church, and she put this in writing. So I know she doesn't mind everybody knowing this because she's fixing to write a book and everything. It so changed their life. This woman, she came here with her children. She had three children, three boys. And the boys were all sick or afflicted or something. And one of them had a leg deteriorating. And they had been to counseling over at their church, big church, thousands of people in that church. And good pastor and everything. But they didn't have the revelation on the Word of God on unforgiveness that I have. God has given this to me, and the very first Sunday or two that she came here, I was teaching on unforgiveness and what it does to you in the spirit world and in the physical world and financial world and everything. And she thought, "This can't be true." She said, "This guy, he's out there in left field. He can't be right. I mean, I can't be suffering what I'm suffering. My children can't be suffering what they're suffering. My husband can't be suffering what he's suffering because of my sin." But she went home, and after a couple of times, and she got with God, and she began to really research all the scriptures that I give her. 11 years ago, at that time, this woman had gotten married to a man, and obviously they loved each other. They went about a year, and he did several things that she didn't like. Well, now let me tell you, if you're a woman, and you're married to a man, and you've been married a year, and he hadn't done several things you don't like yet, he's not a normal man. I'm telling you, because you're a woman and he's a man, the two of you are not compatible. You know, I mean, he's going to do things you don't like and you're going to do things he don't like. And I'm going to tell you, that's just the way life is. But you can't hold a grudge against your mate for those things. You have to love them through it. Well, she didn't do that. She got a grudge against him. So she got pregnant, had her first boy. And then by the time the next few years go by, she had three boys, and she had three miscarriages. She lost three and had three. But the three that she had, the oldest one started coming down with a deterioration in his leg. They took him to a doctor. Doctors checked it. They found out what it was, a very rare problem. They sent him down to one of the big children's hospitals in Dallas. And they looked at it, and they told him, said, "There's only one thing we can do, and that's, we're not sure that's going to solve the problem, but we can go in and cut his leg in two, saw it in two, put a pin in it, do all kinds of things, and maybe it'll straighten it up, and maybe it'll grow, and maybe it'll be okay. But the bone is deteriorating. And they said, it will be very painful. We'll have to put a body cast on him from here down to his knees, and they have to put an epidural in his back, which is going to be very painful. And the little kid immediately began to scream, "Mama, no, please don't let him do this to me." He's screaming, "Don't let him do this to me." But they didn't know anything else to do. They were Christians. They'd been praying, but the boy was getting worse instead of better. So anyway, they continue on, and they do go through the surgery. Whenever he does come out of the surgery, the very first day, the epidural comes out of his back. Now they got to redo that thing, and that's painful. And so he was screaming. So the little child went through all kinds of pains and suffering, and he had that body cast on for months. And then they took him back. After he got out of the body cast, they took him back, and they began to check him and found out the other leg was worse than that one, only for the other leg is too far gone. It can't be fixed. So he'll just be an invalid. There's nothing we can do. How would you like for your young boy this big, you to be told he's going to be an invalid? I mean, that's a young boy who wants to run and play and be in football and all those kind of things. And the other one, the middle one, he's coming down with asthma all the time. And then the third one, all three of them come down with bronchitis or something at least three times a year. One of them gets it, the other one gets it, the other one gets it. All sick. I mean, it's just a way of life. You know, it's just a way of life. No, it ain't. Absolutely not. They're under a curse. But she has no idea of what's wrong. When they told the parents that the second leg was not cured, there wasn't nothing they could do. It was too far deteriorated, nothing could be done. This is when she got revelation. This is when she realized that what she was doing, I told them, I said, if you hold unforgiveness, it will open the door wide open not only to you and to your spouse, but your children. And when I said that, she said, whoa, my children? I have unforgiveness toward my husband, and you're telling me that's opening the door to the devil to attack my spouse and my children? I said, yes, ma'am. Guarantee it. Showed it to her in Matthew 18:21-35. This woman goes home and repents to her husband. She comes in, falls down. She said, Lord, I've got to repent. But of course, first of all, when the Lord spoke to her, he told her, I told her what all to do. She went on a fast. I don't remember all the exact details of how this stuff worked and what time frames, all of it. She put it all in writing. But anyway, she said, I went home and I'm on a fast. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, Terry, do you know what I mean when I mean submit to me? And she said, well, Lord, I think I do. He said, look it up.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.